Let's read from verse 6. Wherefore, I put you in remembrance. Notice, I'm putting you in remembrance. If you don't remember, you'll forget. I put you in remembrance of, in remembrance that thou stir up. Is there any reader? Anybody can read? That thou stir up the gift of God. Do you understand who has to do it? That's, you have to stir up. That's where your free will comes in. Okay? Your free will. You have to stir up, but your free will also need the grace of God, because he has to give you strength. You have a little strength that you stir up. You have to do it. Stir it up. Okay? You have to stir up the gift of God. The what? The gift of God. A gift is a free thing. An inheritance. You have to stir it up. Which is in thee. Ooh. So you're stirring up something. So when a person tells you that I brought something for you, I brought a piece of rock or a piece of leaf or some holy water from Jerusalem or Jordan, they're playing with your mind. Because that gift is already in you. There is something inside of you that nobody, okay, nobody has given you. He said, you stir up the gift of God, the gift of God. Do you know what the gift of God is? The gift of God is eternal life. Amen. Eternal life is in you. So you stir up the gift of God that is in you, which is in you. Verse 6 says, which is in thee by... Wow. Wow. You see, notice that gift of God is already in you. But when Paul laid his hands on Timothy, what was he doing? All right, I'm using simple terms. You're cooking. You have a cooking pot on. But to stir it up, you need a ladle, a spoon, or something to dip it in there. You don't dip your hands in it. You get a spoon. Anybody ever cook? And you have a spoon? Yeah. What do you do with the spoon? Stir. And you put it in there. But the stew and all of that is already in there. Yes. But the spice is in there. But now, and the fire is already provided. That's the Holy Ghost fire. Amen. So something is cooking. Yes. I said, something is cooking. Amen. Jeremiah told you, said, I've got the fire shut up in my bone. Now, if the fire is going, something is there. So you need to stir it up. Yes. And mix all of the ingredients. Yes. It's a whole lot that God has for you. Yes. All of a lot of inheritance, and you have to stir it all up. The gift of God. That is in you. Right now, that gift is in you. Amen. But tonight when you pray, you're stirring up. Amen. You didn't know that. When you begin to stir up that gift of God that is in you, you're going to come alive. Yeah, you're going to get happy. Because you're going to like what you're tasting. Okay? You're going to like what you're feeling. So the scripture says, stir up. Just don't sit there. Do something. And you have a free will. And Paul said, you already have a spoon. What do you call it? Is it a ladle? To stir it up. Now he said, you get busy and stir up the gift of God that is in you. And Paul said, I lay my hands in you. And tonight I am giving you a message. I'm providing a spoon for you. But you are the vessel. And you have a treasure, inert and vessel. you've got a treasure right there Amen. Tonight.
Amen.
And you have to stir up that gift of God, the gift and the calling of God, which is without repentance. So Paul said, you stir it up chapter 2, is it?
Second Timothy
chapter 2.
Chapter 1.
Second Timothy chapter 1, yes. Verse 6. By the laying of and my hands on you. For God, oh, say it with feelings. Come on now. When you get there now, really turn the spoon. All right, come on, really stir up that gift that's in you. For God. For God had not given us, somebody had a shout. For God, listen. This is not a gift that God has given. It's not included. It's not in the mind of God. So if you have it tonight, come on. The spoon won't stir that. He doesn't put one of the ingredients is fear. He doesn't put that in there. It cannot mix. For God had not given us the spirit of fear. So if you have a spirit of fear inside of you tonight, that you cannot stir up that gift inside of you, or you're afraid. What are you afraid of? I'm small. I'm a nobody. Nobody think about... That's your problem. See, you're giving an entrance of fear because God told you, do not be afraid of their faces. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe it. For God had not given us the spirit of fear. Don't go home and look at your little self and say, look at me. Get your eyes off you. It's not who you are. Okay? In your own eyes, small, that's what kept the Israelite out of the promised land. When the soldiers, warriors came back from Jericho, was it? They came back with an evil report and says, oh, we see giants. David saw a giant, but David saw him dead. Do you get that? See, we see fear. No, the fear is gone. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Hallelujah. And just about that time, you feel like shouting. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. That's the word of God. They comfort me. Thou preparest a table. It's already prepared. It's not that he's going to do it, but it's already prepared. He prepares it before you, where? While the enemies stand off looking, seeing you shouting, and that's a table spread, and praising God, rejoicing in God, and hallelujah, songs, and clapping your hands, and stamping your feet, and running up and down. You are in enemy's territory. But yet you can rejoice. Because the weapons of your warfare that you use, they're not carnal. You don't fight the devil with carnal weapon. When somebody accuses you and fights you and challenges you and all that, don't fight them back. Be still and know that I'm God. Let God fight your battles for you. Let the Lord fight your battles for you. And Jesus has never lost a battle. We used to sing a song. He's never lost a battle. He never lost a battle. And what you have inside of you, right now, inside of you. See, before Paul, Timothy had the gifts inside of him before Paul laid his hands on him. The gifts didn't come from Paul. Although Paul was a great man, it came from the Lord. That was given to him before the foundation of the world, like Jeremiah. He was ordained to do that. But all he had to do now is stir it up. Like Jeremiah said, I wasn't going to tell anybody about it when they wouldn't receive his message. But he said there was something greater than their words. He said it was the fire. It was the word. It was the gift. It was the calling of God that's on your life. And he said, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't tell it. I didn't want to do it, but I couldn't resist, because this thing, the way only I can describe it, is like fire. And John the Baptist picked it up and said, I'm baptizing you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is greater than I am. He will baptize you, shout, with the Holy Ghost and with fire, with power. See, so that power is on the inside of you. And all you have to do is get happy. And someone is going to look over and say, what is she or what is he happy about? And you're witnessing to them even without you saying anything. Your countenance. You don't have a sad, long countenance, but you have the joy of the Lord. And you might have come to church tired. Tired. And you couldn't find the joy from your wife. You couldn't find it from your husband. They make you more grumpier. You want to chase them out of the room. But you got a friend. You have a friend. That what husband or wife or nobody can give to you. You have a friend called Jesus. I know when you begin to think about Jesus and about his love. Greater love hath no man than this. You see, when material things wear you out, you think it make you happy. You think that can bring joy. It doesn't. It wears you out. And you see, man was not made to enjoy or get their enjoyment from the world. Man was made to get his enjoyment from God. We were created for God's good pleasure. That's why you were created. Just think about that. You were not even created for yourself. Or what you can achieve. And the more you get said, oh, I'm happy, that's not happiness. That doesn't bring joy. See, what brings joy is like David tells us. He said, I was glad when they say unto me, let us go to church. Oh my God. Let us go into the house of the Lord. See, and I like this. For God had not given us the spirit of fear. As you go towards your inheritance, towards the gift that God has for you, the promises, you don't have to be afraid. See, and don't look at somebody and say, that's coming, that gift and those gifts are coming from that anointed evangelist. He's helping you to stir up. But the gift doesn't come from him. The gift is from Jesus Christ. And all he's doing is a messenger to tell you that you have treasure on the inside. Having this treasure we have. Who is the treasure? That's Jesus Christ. He said, my revenue is better than silver and gold. And he told the Laodiceans that what you have, you're poor. All of the worldly goods that you have make you poor, blind, wretched, miserable, and naked. But if you buy mine without money and without price, what I have, you buy it without money or without price because I already paid for you. He said, you will have real joy. And you will have the anointing. You will have your eyes open. The eyes of your understanding. Being enlightened by the word of God. So if God has not given us this spirit of fear, well, what did he give us? What did he give us? So how are you serving God and yet you're accepting a gift from somebody else? See, you're accepting the spirit of fear from somebody else or from another source. When God said, I have not given you that, that's not from me. When you cannot lift your hands and praise the Lord, and you come to church all bound up after service, and you don't know how to get free because you're working it out yourself. You're using mind power, your wisdom. And the devil will have you sit down and say, well, I'm more smarter than everybody. How come I'm not solving it? That's not the way you get it. It doesn't come from your brain. It doesn't come from human ability. Human abilities and human wisdom cannot touch God. The carnal minded man is at enmity with God. But here's what God has given you. Watch it. Watch this. What God has given you is power. But of power, one, and of love, and of a sound mind. Anybody here tonight have that? Power? Jesus Christ came. Now notice, he came to restore that which was lost. Power. I give you power. All right, here's the spirit of fear that God has not given you. But you need to chase that away. You need to break that and resist it. So how do you do it? Christ came to give you power. I give you power, shout, over all the powers of the enemy. That's the weapon. Remember now, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of those strongholds in your minds. It lodge it there. Get them out. Pull them down. Break it down. Amen. And God send the wind of the Holy Ghost and break down everything the devil has built. For God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of love. But of love. But of love is not just ordinary love. It's the nature of God. God giving you himself. God is love. And then you read love in 1 Corinthians 15. Love is gentle. Love is kind. Love is not puffed up. It's not easily provoked. Do you understand what God gives you? Taking on the nature of God, but he gives us power and love. And know that power, that's Holy Ghost power. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Power to tread on scorpions, and on serpents. Power to pull down strongholds. Power to tear down everything that the devil has built up in your mind. In your mind. Right there. You're looking around. You know, it's in your mind. Well, it's in your mind that the devil built a stronghold. And that's why God has to come in and give you this power. And you've got to get rid of that fear that is inside of you. Because it's not of God. Let's begin to deal with that fear. He has not given you that power, that spirit. It's an alien spirit. It's a foreign spirit. And he gives you the spirit of power. Now you can preach all night on that. That's understanding, knowledge. Do you understand how God equip you? And notice, have a sound mind. So you don't do crazy things and say that's God doing it. Mad. In other words, like God saying, God doesn't want mad men and mad women. So he give them power, love, and a sound mind. You don't even have to run to the preacher every night. Because you know how to deal with that problem. You know that the spirit, are you listening? There's a spirit of fear inside of you. There's an evil spirit. Whatever it is, get it out. Well, I need somebody to cast it out. Well, go ahead if you like to, but there's a lot of problems and things you can deal with by just accepting the word, surrendering to the word, believe God, take God at his word. You have the anointing. And what does the anointing do? The anointing not only breaks, but it destroys the yoke. It destroys the spirit of bondage. Hallelujah. You begin to recognize who you are. Who are you? You don't belong to the devil. The devil has no right to touch you. You were chosen in Christ before, think of that, before the foundation of the world. I know it's too much. It blows your mind. And when he chose you before the foundation of the world, he laid treasures upon you. There's not one of God's elect that's naturally because lack of faith, but there's an inheritance for you. It's already laid up for you in heaven. So while you're here worrying about natural things, you're broke, and if you don't have some milk in your home, you think, oh my, what, our bread? See, but if you can begin to think and set your affection. See, you don't keep your minds in the refrigerator or in your bank. And it's very simple. Give unto the Lord and he will give back to you. Simple. Good measures. Pressed down. Shaken together and running over. You don't give, you don't get. Man. Because God's got to get all that spirit out of us. That fear. That a selfish spirit out of you. That me, my, I, myself. That's what the devil, he got in trouble. I will, I want, I do. No. It's God first. It's what God wants. And taking God at his words. Verse 7, is it? 8. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoners, your pastors, your ministers now, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Look at that. See, the afflictions are light compared to what is to be revealed in us. A more exceeding an eternal weight. Notice what you're getting. You're not just getting a few pounds of something. What's the next? Kilos? That's not what you're getting. But you're getting what God has laid up for you is an exceeding weight of glory. You figure that out. An exceeding weight. How much does that weigh? An exceeding weight of glory. My Lord. Laid up for you. So why are you worrying about a few pounds of flour or sugar? See, you've got an exceeding eternal weight of glory laid up for you. And right now, you don't have to wait for it because he moves you into that. So that's why you go from glory to glory. And it's the Spirit of God that leads you. He's got an exceeding eternal weight of glory. But if he laid upon you all at once, you can't take it. He told Moses that. Say, you cannot see my glory. And nobody can see my face. You couldn't see it under the law. But God placed all of that glory in his Son, Christ. He's the glory of God. And when he comes in your life, he imparts unto you according to how you're able to manage and handle it. He gives you strength. So as you grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, God give you more glory. So you go from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. So it's not that that person, God loves that person more, or they're smarter. No, it's because they love God more. Amen. That's all you have to do is love the Lord. Remember? Love the Lord. Believe the Lord. That gift. Stir it up. Stir it up. See, the gifts of God that's inside of you, it's the ingredients is power. You know, you use seasoning. If you're cooking, you're going to have seasoning. So the seasoning is power and love. And have a sound mind. Because if you don't have a sound mind, you're going to burn the stew. You understand what I'm saying now?
Yeah.
You see somebody stirring there and they're crazy. So God give you a sound mind.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He gives you wisdom. Our knowledge. Our understanding. And verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction, I like this verse, of the gospel, according to the power. That's the Holy Ghost, the power that's working in you. You can go as far and as deep in God as you will let the Holy Ghost lead you. Well, I'd feel like shouting right there. Don't now, notice who had saved us. Ooh, hallelujah. I'm just getting into the meat. I thought I was already in the meat.
Praise God.
He said, who had saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Which, you've got to read it now. Something was given to you, which was given to you, to us, when? Which was given to us in Christ. In who?
In Christ.
In Christ. That's where the treasures are hid. In Christ. Jesus. Before. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Which was given in Christ before
the world.
Verse 9. Which was who had saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. Notice, his own purpose, not your purpose, not your good pleasure. And that's where we get it wrong. We think that God created us for ourselves, for our pleasure, to please yourself. So you've got a right to question God. And if you don't like something that he did, you bought that television for your pleasure. And one day the television began to talk to you and says, why you use me so much? Stop. You know, the television is upset with you, so it tells you, please stop pushing my button. You're pushing me in the wrong way. I don't like what's going on. I don't like what you're saying. I don't like what you're using that person over there, and you're not using me. Or you're saying to that person, you're upsetting me. Is that the way your television talk to you? we were created, okay, for his good pleasure. And he called us, not notice, he's according to who had saved us, verse 9, notice, and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. So here somebody say free grace. Yes, grace is free, but not free to get away with wrongs or to do wrongs. That's not right. You're missing it. Free grace, where, or cheap grace, they call it. Because you're wrong. You don't know the Bible. And you're just looking a way out of hell. In other words, you want to be in the world and do what the world says, but you want to escape hell. Which was given us. Notice something was given us. Given us. That's why we're talking at the start of the service. Something laid up for you before. Okay? Not just coming, but it's already there. Which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world was, or before the world began. When was that given? I know when Jesus returned, yes, I'm gonna have it when. But something is already given to us before the world began. That's an awfully long time. Because somebody say, how old are you? And you say, well, I'm only 50 years old. Well, something was given to you before that and before the world began. All right. It said, which was given unto you. So you need to find out all these things that was given to you. Otherwise, you're robbing. In other words, if an inheritance is for you and you don't know and you live and die, you've lost it. Because you can have an inheritance, but unless you know it, you live in poverty. And that's why the church is so poor. And we get all excited about gold watch and suits and cars and money. And that's necessary for now. But that's not where your joy lies. Okay, that's not where, with the food and raiment, we are contented. But our rejoicing is what was given us before the world began. And I'm not promising you cars and watches or nothing like that. That's not my ministry. But I'm telling you something that's greater. Verse 10 says, but notice that was given before the world began, but you didn't know about it. You need to know about it now. You're finding out the will is being read right now. We're reading the Father's will. We're reading what God has laid up. You've been running all over the place, but nobody's been reading the will to you. I'm reading the will to you. What you have. I'm telling you that you have a father and he has a son. And he has laid up treasures in his son for you. That's where you have to look for it. And that's why we look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Everything is in Jesus Christ. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's why you have to go to Jesus. Salvation is hidden in him. Everything, the Holy Ghost, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and power. Everything you need tonight is in Jesus Christ. And not only that, but the scripture says, in him we live and move and have our beings. You're living right there. I mean, we're living in the greatest wealth, treasures and everything, and yet still we are broke and poor and blind and miserable and naked. because we're not seeing Jesus. But it's now, notice, it's now, right now, present. Is that word? Somebody, you smarty.
Now.
Does now mean tomorrow? Now. Next week?
Now.
Help me.
Now.
Yeah?
Now.
Right now? Now?
Like now?
But it's now made manifest by the appearing
of our
Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice, somebody said, the appearing, yes, but when he's coming. No, he came already. The Son of Righteousness would arise with healing in his wings. He did it. Don't you see your Son rising? Huh? That's why you have light. Because in darkness you were, you and I, and he sent light. And the light shineth in darkness. That was the true light. That's the rising of the sun. That's the true light which lighted every man that cometh into the world. Hallelujah. Oh, sure. I feel like. Don't you feel like. Don't you. Throw the devil off. Get rid of the devil. Get rid of the fear. Step out of that spirit. And get into your inheritance. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who at abolish death. That second death. Yes, he did. That second death. To him that overcometh shall not be hurt by the second death. And the first death is just a way out to get into the eternal kingdom. So you don't have to worry about the first death. But it's the second death. And he abolishes that. To him that overcometh will not be hurt of the second death. And I'll give him rights to the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. We've got, you ought to read the seven churches and the promises that's given. That's laid up for them. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. My Jesus. So you better call me not just pastor, but prince. Pastor. That's okay for now. But really, I'm a prince.
Amen.
King priest. I mean, that's awesome. Getting ready to sit with Jesus on his throne, even as he sits with his Father. He's at the right hand of God. I mean, it's prepared for you in heaven. He abolishes death and had brought. Oh, Jesus. Oh, you're not getting it. You're not getting it. He abolishes it. What does it mean? Abolish. Where's Joni? Abolish. Help me, some of you.
Done away with.
Second death. Done away with. They shall not be hurt by the second death. He abolishes death. And what did he replace it with? And had brought what? Light. He had brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. All right, now. Life and immortality. That's what the devil wants to take away from us. But the light shines in darkness. And life and light and immortality was here. It was a gift. But we didn't know it because it was hidden in darkness. And we were in the dark, lacking understanding towards the things of God. My people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. So we didn't know what our inheritance was. So we just think it's just a car and a house and a hill. And we settled for that. Oh, if I could only get to heaven and drink some milk and get my wings and see some of the disciples and to see the archangels, and I just like a little mansion over there and Glory Hallelujah Boulevard, and I'm going to be satisfied. I want my mansion in the sky. But you couldn't see. the coming of the Lord not only will set you free from sin, that's a start, yes, but look where it ends up. He came and he abolishes death. He killed, in other words, he killed the enemies. He destroyed death. He destroyed the devil. He came to destroy him that has the power of death, that's the devil. And look what he replaced it with. Life. And immortality. And he brought it to light through the gospel. So right now, the gospel is preached to you in your mind, and you begin to see, oh my God, look what is there for me. I don't have to be afraid of death no more. He has not given me the spirit of fear. I don't have to be afraid of death no more, because I have light and life and immortality. Woo! Yeah. So the Lord shines the light in darkness. Yeah. And you see what you've got. You see what your inheritance. And that's what the gospel is tonight. Is the Lord shining the light of the gospel into the darkness. And you who were sometimes darkness, now you're a light. Hallelujah. And God is light. Immortality to light. Through how? So that's why you need to come to church. That's why you need to read the Bible. That's why you need to be saved. That's why you need to love God. Because that's where the light shines in your mind. You don't get it just staying home. I read my Bible. You don't get it that way. You need someone to preach the word of God to you and break it and open your understanding and to show you where the light is and what is there for you. And then verse 11 says, whereunto? Hey, look at that. Whereunto? I am appointed a preacher. Hold on. Hold on. And an apostle. And a teacher. Of the Gentiles. And remember, Acts 26, he sent Paul to the Gentiles to open their eyes. And to deliver them from the power of Satan, that they might have an inheritance among the saints. Hallelujah. That's why we're here tonight. Appointed. Notice here that word, appointed, when? Before the foundation of the world, said, I chose him as a vessel to the Gentiles. So he was appointed as a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Let me begin to wind this down. For which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know. Come on. For I know. Do you know? I said, do you know? Are you just on the edge? You're not sure. Do you believe these words tonight? Do you love these words more than just a car? And you know, that's why a lot of people can't give to God, because they don't know their inheritance. So they think that dollar is their inheritance. They refuse to give it to God. They can't give their tithe and offering because that's my inheritance. No, it's not. Somebody fool you. Yours, I just show you what your inheritance is. Hallelujah. Well, I've got a little money, my inheritance laid up in bank of this and bank of that and that. But God says you're banking in the wrong place, really. He said lay up treasures in heaven. Well, you don't understand. That's not saying that you give everything you have away and you don't have nothing. That's not what he's saying. But put God first. Okay? Put God first. Verse, for this cause, in closing, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded. Until you're persuaded, you're not going to get very far. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith, love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. See, Timothy received it, his grandmother, his mother, and Paul. That good thing, the Word of God. Okay? This thou knowest in closing, that all they which are in Asia have turned away from their inheritance. Read it. Come on, let's get back. All day in Asia, when you turn away from a true man of God, you think nothing behind it. Oh no, you don't know what's coming. You've lost your inheritance. Oh no, not so. Oh yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because you need someone that's appointed. Remember? Appointed teacher. An appointed apostle. An appointed preacher. By God from before the foundation of the world. I appoint you to explain and to open their eyes and to let them come into knowledge of their inheritance. And unless you know, will I just step over in eternity and get it? No, you won't. Because you will be out of the image of God. Because it's knowledge, and as I progress, I'll show you, it's knowledge that puts you into the image of God. Okay? The knowledge of God puts you into the image of God. Restored into your mind. If you don't have that, if you don't have that knowledge restored in your minds, you'll never have it. That's why you need church. Look what you've learned tonight. Yes. From you, I've been going to church all these years. Did you ever hear this? Come on, did you ever hear this? No. No. Be honest. Did you ever hear that? Your inheritance? All year, something is going to happen. You have a mansion in heaven. Are you going to go there? I'm telling you of something that's already laid up for you before the foundation of the world. And it's secure. Come on. Amen. Amen. Are you happy tonight?
Yes.
Give the Lord a praise tonight. Come on, shout. Give the Lord a praise tonight. Amen.